Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Ariana Grande is apologizing for snubbing Elvira, the queen.
Elvira, sorry.
Just sure. Before my generation.
Yeah, it's totally okay.
All right, now we get to pound on you for mispronouncing somebody's name. Here we go.
Revenge again. Y'all remember that Oak Ridge Boys song?
Elvira.
Elvira.
Hey, remember when Moe called Chapel Roan Chapel Roan?
You can't talk back to me.
Chapel Roan is famous today, not back in the day.
So was Erykah Badu.
She messed that one up too.
That one I deserve. Anyway. So, Elvira.
She was the mistress of the dark.
She was the mistress of the dark. Mm-hmm. And she recently was asked, who is the most rude celebrity that you've ever come into contact with? And she told this anecdote about the time that Ariana Grande came backstage with her friends and family. She said, I took a picture with every single one of them. I sign autographs for every single one of them. And then I, Elvira, say to Ariana Grande, can we take a photo together? And she goes, nah, I don't really do that.
Now, as I understand it, Ariana Grande asked for 20 tickets or 21 tickets.
Correct.
There were 21 people that comps. She let in. All comps, taking pictures, autographing, everything. Yeah.
So then Elvira goes on to claim that Ariana Grande's relatives stayed for the performance, but then Ariana Grande took off and didn't hang around. And she's like, then she comes backstage and, she's retelling the story. So basically she gets all of these tickets comped and refuses to take a photo with Elvira, and then leaves the concert. So basically used her own fame and name dropped herself to get all of her friends and family in. And then when she got to meet Elvira, I was like, bye, see ya.
Because it just reeked to me that this is something her family wanted to do. Mm-hmm. So she did her family a solid, but she didn't want to be seen in a picture with Elvira.
She didn't know who Elvira was.
Who is Elvira? So now Ariana Grande is responding to this. So in a comment on Instagram, she said, I don't know what her voice sounds like. She keeps changing her voice. I'm so disheartened to see this. I actually don't even remember getting the chance to meet you because I had an anxiety attack and to my memory, left before the rest of my family. This was around 7 years ago and at the time I was really not great with being in public crowds or loud places. But if I'm misremembering this moment, I sincerely apologize for offending you so. Thank you for being so nice to my mom. She told me how lovely you were. She might have different feelings about that now, but I'll talk to her. Clearly, we all have our days. Sending love always. You'll always be our queen of Halloween.
I roll. A liar. I was so anxious. I don't even remember being there after I got 20 tickets for you.
And then she remembers it was 7 years ago.
Come on.
It's giving fraud.
Yeah, it is. It's giving fraud. And also, like, Elvira, if you watch her, like, this... If you like watch her interviews or, you know, she's a straight shooter. Like she's a no BSer. And like, I don't see Elvira making up a story like this and just to throw Ariana Grande on the bus. No. Like I think that's what happened. And it honestly irks me that as somebody who deals with anxiety and has had anxiety attacks, and like I'm diagnosed with, you know, general anxiety disorder. I take medication on the daily for it. It's in my family history, like all that stuff. I I don't want to call her a liar for faking an anxiety attack, because if somebody says that, I want to believe them, because I live it and I get it. But it, like, a little part of me is like, man, that, like, if you're using that as an excuse to, like, to try to make yourself look better, that, like, that's low. Yeah.
I feel like over the course of the last year, her likability score is going down quite a bit, right?
Oh, it's tanked.
You mean whenever he stole that guy from his wife when she had just had a baby?
Right. There was that. And then there were the clear lies about the work that she had done, even though she said she hadn't had anything done at all. Uh-huh. Then you got this whole thing going on. So it's taking a hit a little bit.
It's
here.
Not great. And I hate to come down on women, because I do think we have to give celebs and people in the public eye, like, some grace when it comes to handling the public. Because I get, you're Ariana Grande, people are constantly asking you for photos, and we've all been in a situation where you just feel and someone wants to take a photo and you're just like, please, no. But to me, the main point of contention here is the fact that Elvira did her a solid, let her entire family come backstage, take photos, sign autographs. And would only have done that because she's Ariana Grande, the pop star. And then for Ariana Grande to not return the favors, a low move.
I also think that we're living in a society that mostly forgives when you're honest. There's always going to be some people that it doesn't matter. You know what? It's very black and white. You are an idiot. No apology is ever going to be good enough. But I think for the most part, if you just come out and you go, you know what? I did get all this work done on my face. You know what? I was a jerk that night. Most people are like, thank you for being real.
100%. And it's fine if you say that you were a jerk because of your anxiety, but just be honest and stop trying to push off blame on other things.
Hey, guess what? These cheekbones right here, not real. It's filler.
All right. Liam Payne's autopsy has come out, and it's found some things that may have contributed to his passing and his fatal fall. I am going to tell you what the toxicology report says on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
I've got $100 right here for one of our listeners, and it is theirs to lose. I call it Lose Burt's Money.
This is jazzy.
Isn't it?
Jazzy.
Isn't it so jazzy?
This is a good time.
Who knew all it took was this music for Abby to finally have a good time on the show?
It feels like Europop. Like, I feel like ABBA's coming in any moment.
Yes, it does.
After England, she's just looking for anything positive. Anything at all. All right, let's get to know our contestants here. Hey, Greg, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Doing fantastic, man. What part of town are you calling us from?
Goose Creek.
All right. I appreciate you listening. From South Carolina, here is Jess. Hey, Jess, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Where are you calling us from?
I am calling from Canton. I am also jazzy, so you can call me Jazzy Jess if you'd like to. I was feeling it when Abby was saying it.
Okay.
Let's go.
Jazzy Jess. Okay.
From Canton.
And Kayla, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good over here.
And where is here?
I am in Monroe.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Here's how this works, you guys. It's called Lose Burt's Money. I have $100 right here. I am going to ask you guys a trivia question. When you get it wrong, we take off $10 from that $100 until we get down to zero or somebody gets it right. Okay? That makes sense?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You guys got it?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
So are they working together?
Yeah.
No, they are not.
Got it.
You guys are working against each other here. So we'll do it the same way we did it with you guys yesterday. I'll ask all of them the question, then I'll go to Greg, Jess, then Kayla, and we'll go all the way until we're either down to zero or somebody gets it right.
Okay.
All right, you guys ready?
Yep. Let's do it.
All right, for $100, will you keep track of the money that we're losing?
Yes.
I can't do two things at the same time.
Yes.
All right, Greg, here it is, you guys. 23% of people say they need to know this before getting involved in a relationship. For $100, Greg, what is it? 23% of people say they need to know this before getting involved in a relationship.
I would say if they have a job.
If they have a job. Good answer, but we're down to $90.
Okay.
Jess, same question. 23% of people say they need to know this before getting involved in a relationship.
Let's go. Somebody's religion.
Somebody's religion. Good answer.
Jazzy Jess. Jazzy Jess.
Way to go, Jazzy. $80.
That's not right, well.
We're at 80 now?
Yep, 80 for Kayla.
Okay. Kayla, you want to take the same shot. Same question.
Body count?
Body count.
Oh, got it.
That is a very jazzy answer.
Wrong. What are we down to?
Now we're 70 for Greg.
70, Greg?
Ooh. If they have kids.
If they have kids. That's okay. Very important. Yeah. Very important. No.
We are down to 60 for Jess.
Jazzy for 60 bucks.
All right, Jazzy's feeling crazy. Let's go how crazy, like how their family is, maybe. Just, yeah, how crazy their family is. Yeah.
Mental health history.
Yeah. That's important.
Yeah, sure, that's a nice way to put it, yes.
These are all really great answers, and I think better than the one that is actually the answer. But no, that is not right.
All right, so now we are down to 50 for Kayla.
50, Kayla.
Long-term goals?
Long-term goals. Mm. Oh, fantastic.
Very mature.
No, that's not it. What are we down to?
We're down to 40 for Greg.
40, Greg!
I'm going to go back to, like, the job thing with a car. If they have a car or transportation.
If they have... These are all great. Mm-hmm. And they're all wrong.
We're down to 30 for Jess.
30. Hey, Jazzy, 23% of people say they need to know this before getting involved in a relationship. 23%.
Oh, okay. Maybe if they have a 401k retirement fund.
If they have a 401k. Mm. Aren't they good with money or not? Yeah. No, that's not it.
Mm. We are down to 20 for Kayla.
20 bucks, Kayla.
Hygiene level.
How does one measure hygiene levels?
Right.
Hygiene level or hygiene levels is not correct.
All right. So now we are down to $10 for Greg. This is the last little bit of money left.
All right, Greg. This last is for one. Charleston here, man. The whole city is counting on you for 10 bucks.
If they live alone.
If they live alone. I am sorry. That is not right. 23% of people say they need to know this before getting involved in a relationship. If the person can cook.
Shut up.
What? Really?
23%. One in five. All of yours, the ones that you guys answered, I'm guessing is in the 80 or 90%.
Yeah.
This was 23%. None of you get anything, just the way I like it, because I like my money.
It's probably your favorite game ever.
Right. Thanks for listening, you guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
The Burt Show.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
All right, on a more serious note here, dude, what's going on with your lady now and this sickness that you guys can't figure out?
Yeah, so it's been a journey for my lady who is having a health scare, and we've been trying to figure out what exactly is going on. So to recap what I was saying the first time, this like really came out of nowhere for her. And I got a lot of DMs from a lot of women saying that they've had similar experiences, so I appreciate everybody who's reached out. But yeah, like literally, randomly, one day out of nowhere, she just told me that she was having issues with, I think it started with her legs at first, and then it was her elbows, then it was her hands, and it's like the pain first started off to where she was just feeling something as if she was sore, like there was a soreness, but she wasn't working out to be that sore, so she thought something might have been wrong, but she wasn't exactly sure. Then the pain just started to get worse, and it got worse. And eventually, it got so bad that she was having trouble getting up the stairs. Then she was having trouble getting out the bed. And I realized it was a serious problem when she called me one night, and she was just literally crying because she lives alone in New York. We're in a long-distance relationship, and she couldn't get out the bed, like, literally. Mm. And she just didn't know what was wrong or where this was coming from. And so obviously I told her, well, you know, you got to go get this checked out and try to figure out what's going on. And then after a while, we started to realize it was usually in her joints. So, of course, she did what a lot of people do and started to Google, and she wasn't happy with the results, and it was scary. And, you know, so she was like, she thought it could be gout, it could be lupus, it could be a whole bunch of different things. She just didn't know. So she goes to the doctor the first time, and they pretty much tell her, they do all of the testing, do all of the check-ins, and they didn't really tell her anything.
Like blood tests and all that.
All of it. Mm-hmm. They did all, and then they were like, we're not sure. And so she was like, what should I do? So they gave her some pills, whatever pills they thought would help. That didn't help. And it got to the point where she couldn't even open the medicine. Like, that's how much, like, that's how much pain she was in.
So was it like an arthritic type pain?
Yes, exactly that.
And they're giving her pills just for to manage the pain at this point.
Right.
Okay.
So she went to get a second opinion, and that's the results that we were waiting for. So I don't know. They did pretty much all of the same things, and they told her that she would have results in 10 to 12 days. So we waited out. Same thing. The doctor is like, I can tell you what I believe it to be, but you might want to go see a specialist. So this doctor told her that he believes that it's MCTD, which is, I had to Google it, but it's mixed connective tissue disease, which is like a rare autoimmune disorder in which your immune system mistakenly views your body's own tissues as invaders and attacks them.
Huh. And does that develop later in life?
So mostly what the doctor was saying, that usually if you do start to develop this, it is typically in like your mid-30s or above.
Huh.
And it does come out of nowhere, and it has like an arthritis feel, and it can attack you in any one of your joints at any given time. And it's a pain that it comes and goes. So there's no rhyme or reason to it. She doesn't have to do anything for it to happen. It just literally comes and goes.
Is it based on any kind of stress at all, or stress levels?
So that's what they're trying to figure out. They recommended that she change her diet and that she do a few different things. But even this doctor was like, I'm going to be honest, I can tell you that I believe it to be this, mm-hmm. but you'd be better off going to see somebody who specializes in this area. And so luckily they were able to find her a specialist that will get her like an emergency look at in about a couple weeks. They got her in, and I'm going to go with her. And just try to figure out what's going on, because this is now she's going to the third doctor and they really don't know. You know, he says it could be lupus, but he doesn't think it's lupus. That's what they searched for. That's what they looked for. But he believes it to be MCTD more than anything else.
So we have theories, just not an actual diagnosis.
Exactly that. So she's like, I mean, it's rough, man. I can imagine, like, she's in this place of genuinely just not knowing. She just has no answers. She's mm-hmm. unsure. And there are days when she's fine. Like, she'll go 2, 3, 4 days and nothing. And then there'll be a day when she struggles to get upstairs and get out the bed. And even, like, driving. Like, I worry about her, because she was in a car the other day. And literally, she says she just starts feeling the pain out of nowhere in her car, to the point where when she feels it in her hands or in her, like, elbows, whatever she's doing, she can't. If she can't open a bottle of medicine, I'm like, I don't even think you should be driving.
Because
she just, it's that bad. Like, you don't know when this is going to kick in. And so it's just been tough for her. Like, in trying to do it alone, I think has been even worse for her. And I'm in this helpless situation of trying to support her, but I have no idea how to help. And it's been a rough journey. So we got answers, but we really didn't get answers at the same time.
It's so hard to be patient in a situation like this, where something's so specialized and you have to go to 2 or 3 or 4 different doctors and it takes time. Very, very frustrated. I'm sorry you guys got to go through with this, all this, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I like you said, I just think the worst part is being feeling so helpless and not being able to help, you know, but we're going to get it through it. I just keep telling her to think positively, because I believe that does help. The mind, you know, can heal the body. So I'm just trying to tell her to stay positive through it all.
It's Bert Show.
The Bert Show.
Reminded you a whole bunch of times today and tomorrow, because it's getting to be that time. You got to buy your raffle ticket for Bert's Big Adventure to get your hands on a 2024 Audi Q3. Brand new, $100 for a raffle ticket. All the money going to Bert's Big Adventure. And you can get your tickets at bertsbigadventure.org. All right, our producer, Rebecca, I have this feeling that Halloween is like your favorite time of the year.
October is like really, yeah, my time. It's gay and spooky. So those are both things that I am. Yeah, when November hits, I'm SOL. So,
all right, what do we got today?
I want to play a game.
Ooh, that was gay and spooky.
I practiced that all night and it still didn't come out the way I wanted it to. It's the 20th anniversary of Saw. Has anyone here seen the movie Saw?
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, of course you have. Mm-hmm. I've never seen one.
So, Mo, you're the only one. Cassie, have you seen Saw?
Oh, yeah, I've seen quite a few of them.
What the hell's the premise of Saw?
The first one is so good.
Yeah, it is.
I waited for years because I don't like that torture porn kind of stuff.
Porn,
which is kind of what it was billed as. But the first
who billed it as?
It's so interesting. Your head popped up like a gopher porn. Out of a hole.
I'm just trying to figure out how we're gonna tie this all in.
That's just the nickname for it, okay. For that type of movie. But the first one is so smartly written. It is so great. Now from there on, it gets a little torture-esque. But the first one you got to watch.
Yeah, the first one is like critically acclaimed, and then they made 10 more, and they're consistently mediocre.
It got worse and worse as it went on.
I love them personally. I think they're fun to like not pay attention to. They're very they're so bad it's good my eyes.
Are we still talking about the same kind of premise where it's one warped dude killing everybody?
Basically, so here's the story. The story follows Jigsaw, who, spoiler alert, dies in the third movie, but for some reason is still in every single one of them. Jigsaw is a terminally ill civil engineer who takes his frustration out on everyone that he's decided takes their lives for granted.
Yeah, I'll say the same thing now I said last time we were doing this whole thing. The person that creates this is undateable.
Yeah.
That kind of evil and darkness living inside of them, they're undateable.
Like, again, impressed by your creativity, but don't want to be anywhere near that mind of yours.
Terrified.
Right.
Put them right into my dating pool. Oh, I'll take them. So Jigsaw's mission is to force people into deadly saw traps to see if they survive and come out on the other side with a new perspective on how they live their life. Very generous. But the only problem
very
is...
Very mindful. Very demure.
Jigsaw is so demure. There's been 10 movies and Jigsaw seems to have run out of real reasons to like actually trap people. Like at first he's trapping violent criminals. But then by the 10th movie, he's started putting people in traps for, I have a brief list, smoking cigarettes, being depressed, taking antidepressants, cheating, shoplifting, working in insurance, which I agree with, calling in sick from work, and being a single woman who likes their job too much.
This dude's way to the right.
He has some big ideas. So when I think about it, I don't think any of us here are escaping the saw traps, which is why I posit this question to the Burt Show. What petty reason would Jigsaw put you into a saw trap?
Okay, before we do that, why do you think none of us would survive Jigsaw's saw trap?
I feel like in the list that I just shared, like, there's like 3 out of 4 have been hit. Like, calling in sick from work, being a single woman who likes their job too much.
Is Jigsaw running for vice president?
Antidepressants? Like, it's kind of all there.
So, the people, I'm intrigued by this movie. So, the people he puts in his trap, are they just doomed? Like, can you get out of the trap?
You can get out.
Yeah, you can get out.
But it's not easy.
You have to, like, hurt yourself to get out in some capacity.
There's got to be a million reasons why I wouldn't be able to get out. I swear to you, I've almost suffocated on that CPAP machine the last week and a half. I've almost ended up dead.
I was like, oh, honey, that's your girlfriend putting a pillow over your face.
Might be.
All right, should we choose our own petty reasons or should we choose petty reasons for each other?
Ooh.
I'm going to put Bert into the salt trap for not reading his emails.
Or at least to the end.
That's legit.
Wait, now I'm scared.
Okay. I don't like this game.
Anytime Kristen vocally burps and calls the taste of her burp, dead.
Yep. Oh, wait, I have one. I'm putting Mo in the saw trap for not following his girlfriend on Instagram.
You won't have to kill him as soon as she finds out.
She knows.
I'm putting Abby in the saw trap for not pronouncing.
I forgot who she was.
Erykah Badu.
Oh, I thought we were talking about the one she just did.
Yeah, I am.
I don't remember who it was.
Elvira.
It's a double saw trap with a Chappelle Roan and Erykah Badu. I'm putting Kristen in for mispronouncing Rizan's name from Akatar.
Oh.
Rizand.
Oh, damn.
I wanted to be Rizan so bad.
And then when you shorten it to Rise.
Did you have one picked for all of us? Or is it just go for it yourselves, guys?
No, it was kind of go for it yourselves. But
now the one I chose for myself is I figured he would put me into the saw trap because I flipped my kid off behind his back.
You're on The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's The Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
A partial autopsy has revealed what was in the system of former One Direction singer Liam Payne when he passed away last week at the age of 31. Every time a new headline comes out about this, like I just physically get ill. Like I hate thinking about the fact that he's gone and I hate having to think about what he was going through that night. Because he's been vocal about the fact that he is sober, but his toxicology report shows that he was not the night of his passing. So the report shows that the substances that were found in his system included pink cocaine, which is a recreational drug that typically is a mix of several different things like methamphetamine, ketamine, MDMA, and others like cocaine, benzodiazepine, and crack. And apparently an improvised aluminum pipe was found in his hotel room that we can assume was used to ingest said drugs. This is so scary. And actually, weirdly enough, TMZ reported that Lamar Odom spoke out about pink cocaine. He said that this particular mix of drugs made him hear voices. So who knows what Liam Payne was going through the night that his he passed away.
Mm-hmm. From some of the articles I have read, he could have been on hallucinogenics,
mm-hmm.
Which obviously... I don't think anybody is ever going to know exactly what happened right before he, you know, leapt from the balcony. It's just the story is just all around sad. And then the pictures that are circulating of his room, you could tell like he was obviously going through something very deep when it just all got away from him.
I know. And one of the saddest parts about this story that I just found out on people.com is that Liam Payne's sister, Nicola, said that she found out about his death from an alert on her phone.
Could you imagine?
I literally can't. I think because I know so many death hoax things come out about celebrities that I think the first, it's like typically when you hear something that happens to your family member, like it hits home because it is probably coming from somebody you know, and of course they're not going to lie about that. But then of course when you have to read an article from something so impersonal about somebody in your life, I can't even fathom what that must have been like. She posted on social media, when I saw the news pop up on my phone that you had left us, speaking to Liam, I went cold. I wanted so much for this to be untrue. I've spent days hoping that it was a mistake and that somebody got it wrong. You were truly too good for this earth. You're an angel who just lived for making people smile and happy.
This is just factual information. I have no idea if this had any bearing on his state of mind, but I know how passionate he was about music and, you know, the fact that he tried out for the X Factor at 14, then went back at 16 when Simon Says Come Back. He was dropped from his record label just a couple of days before the accident.
So it's like a perfect storm of emotions going on, yeah?
It's awful. Mm. One of the most interesting things I found from this article about his family, and I'm sure... in hindsight, this is going to be really heartbreaking for them. But Nicola, his sister, said that they actually often didn't really take photos with Liam because they didn't want him to feel like he was in a room full of fans. I mean, think about this. From the age of 16 to now 31, every time he goes out, somebody sees him, they want a picture. So his family wanting to make it a safe place is like, okay, we're not going to make you take pictures and make it feel like this is a fan situation. And now he's gone at such a young age that I'm sure there's a lot of regret there not having pictures to remember him by. Okay, on a much lighter note, Olivia Rodrigo had a very embarrassing moment at one of her concerts. So I feel like the thing to do is celebrities and singers are now doing a lot more crowd work. It's almost kind of like coming to a comedy show, if you will, sometimes between sets before they're ready to start singing their next song. And Olivia Rodrigo saw two people in the audience and asked them to kiss. And when she found out that they were siblings, she was shook.
Hey, I have a really huge fun thing to ask. Would you guys give us a kiss on the guts?
She's freaking out like, this has never happened before. I would have never asked if I had known who you two were.
She might want to just sing. wasn't it a couple of days ago that she fell through like a big old hole on the stage?
Yeah.
I feel like that was her fault. I feel like that whoever's in charge of the stage probably should have lost their job on that one.
Or she knew it was there and forgot and it's a dark stage. I don't know, but just sing.
It was like,
leave that to the comedians.
Well, I was looking at some other embarrassing moments of things that have happened to celebrities while they've been on stage. Had no idea Justin Bieber threw up on stage during one of his sets. So did Lady Gaga, going out trying to push through the illnesses. Beyonce's hair got caught in a fan once. And of course, who could forget when Christina Aguilera bled during the middle of Etta James's funeral service. For more stories, head to the Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
You're on the Burt Show.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Quick question here, if you guys want to get in on this. Am I normal? 1-855-BIRD-SHOW in this way. Have you guys ever been watching a movie or a TV show, and there is a character in that show that you are so attracted to this character, you're like, if I could ever meet that a person like that, that is somebody I'm going to fall in love with.
So clarify, not the actor. Like, this is not an actor or actress you're obsessed with. This is the actual character in the show that you want to meet that character.
So, yes. So, Amanda and I introduced her to Garden State, one of Tommy's favorite movies, right? This is a movie right down my girlfriend's alley. Great soundtrack, quirky, funny. And there is a character in there that was played by Natalie Portman. And the character's name is Sam. And she, too, quirky and funny and unique and a little on the dark side, but also rolling with life with a great sense of humor. And I'm like, that's the person I want to fall in love with. And then I realized I did. Amanda really is that character, right? Has that ever happened to you guys before?
So for me, the one character that just like immediately jumps out is Aiden from Sex and the City.
Oh, really?
Ooh. I was always so mad at Carrie for being with Toxic Big. And I'm like, here you have this just like boulder of a man that wants, like, is all consuming love for you and wants to protect you. And he buys the apartment next door to yours and he's breaking down walls and he's refinishing the floor with his own hands and he's going to like make your dream home together. Mm-hmm. And she has to go cheat on him. Cheats on him. Big.
And it doesn't necessarily have to do with looks, even though he's a very good looking guy. It's just everything he represents would be the man. And you have that.
Yeah,
though.
He's the dog guy. He's the handy guy. He's just, and he's funny, but it's a dorky funny. You know what I mean? Like, it's a cheesy funny. And yeah, I kind of married it.
Logan Huntsberger from Gilmore Girls.
Ooh.
He is one of Rory's, when she went to Yale, one of the rich family boys, but that's not why. They just had such insane chemistry and banter, and he always came off as like he could be serious but lighthearted, making jokes and pulling her out of dark places, or like when she gets into one of her academic spirals, he regrounds her. Oh my God. And even in the stupid, terrible follow-up Gilmore Girls sequel, he was still in it and I was still in love. I was like, oh.
Hey Brenda, good morning. You're part of the Burt Show.
Hi, good morning, guys. I will totally fall in love with Jack Pearson from This Is Us. I would totally fall in love with Milly Ventimiglia, though, but I would rather have Jack Pearson. Yeah, he is the perfect father, the perfect everything, with that little twisted lip that he has. Oh,
Minus the crock pot.
Yeah, right? Crock pot, man.
But he just did everything right. He took care of the family, always put everybody else first, was a great leader and a great man with great values. Yes.
I would probably say Kerry Washington when she played Olivia Pope in Scandal. She's a badass, boy. I love the way she just was so brilliant and got things done and just stood on business. Like, I always thought that was sexy.
Okay, well, on that note, then I have to choose Fitz. When he has that monologue, when she tries to call him out for basically the fact that she waits on him and he's like, I wait for you. You own me. I wait. It's just so hot to see a man in power be on his knees for a woman.
Wasn't he cheating on his wife, though?
Yeah, let's
forget that.
Okay.
Everybody has their flaws.
Minor details.
But he's going to cheat on her for me.
All right, Kristen. Mother-in-law advice.
Yes. Okay. I have a friend who is at her wit's end, and it's driving such a wedge in her relationship, and it's her mother-in-law. And she is really at a point where she's like, I think this could potentially be what breaks up my marriage is my mother-in-law. Like, that's how bad it's gotten. And so if anybody has any advice, when it comes to dealing with mother-in-laws. I feel very fortunate. My husband is one of five boys, and his mom is, she's been the best. She's low maintenance, and she's sweet, and she's kind, and I've never had an issue. There's never been any mama's boys issues. However, my friend who is dealing with this is married to a man who is close to his mom, but she has serious boundary issues. Like, constantly crossing boundaries as far as like just like manipulation and guilt trips and making him feel bad. And so he's sacrificing his wife's happiness for his mother's happiness. And it's really, really starting to weigh on her. And it's weird because she doesn't want to feel like she's being put in a position where he has to choose sides per se, but she feels like she is never chosen. Like, it's always his mom that's a priority. And it's whatever is best for mom. And he has to look out for her feelings and what she wants to do. And it's she's the one that's always just left with not even the leftovers, like just left with nothing. And she just wants her feelings to be heard. And they're just butting heads about it. And he's like, it's my mom. Like, I love her. Why would you not want me to like do things that make her happy? But she's like, but the things you are doing to make her happy are making me miserable. So they have reached such like a pinnacle point in their relationship. Like, she is fearing that if they can't get this figured out, divorce is inevitable.
Is this one of those things where she fell in love with him because of his love for his mom and now she resents him for it?
No. She there was always red flags in the beginning. Like, it was an issue, but she didn't realize how big of an issue it was going to be. Like, he is a quintessential mama's boy, and you know, he did things that were red flags to her in the beginning, but she's like, I'm sure once we're married and then once we have kids, then I'll be the priority. But that is not the case. Like, there is a pecking order, and she knows that she is not at the top of that list. Her toxic mother-in-law is.
I don't know how you get a guy out of that mama's boy era. That feels like something that a man genuinely has to do on his own. Like, I don't think you can convince him to do it. You can obviously tell him it's an issue, but I don't know how you can, like, influence somebody to do that.
Morgan might have some advice here. Hey, Morgan, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How y'all?
All right. What's up?
Well, I'm actively dealing with a somewhat toxic mother-in-law situation, and right now, me and my husband are kind of on the sidelines of it since he's got a brother and his wife are currently dealing with it, you know, new grandbaby and all. So currently, like, they're trying to go through therapy, like a group therapy. Mm-hmm. It's gotten to the point where mother-in-law just calls daughter-in-law names. But it's gone limited to almost no contact. And like, my best advice is I've called it from the get go and been like, look, y'all got to stop bending over backwards and doing what she wants to make her happy. Because the more she expects that it's going to go her way, the time it doesn't go her way, she going to lose it. And then lo and behold, that happens every time. So it's come to a boiling point where it's like, oh, now we've just crossed all these boundaries. And, now we're having to really put it down, and you can't cross these, and she's not having it. So yeah. It's definitely the son that has to really lay it down and choose his wife, because, well, he did choose to marry her.
Mm-hmm. It's so crazy to me how one person's affection can be another person's enabling.
Mm. Oh, and it's wild.
Yeah, and so they're just, I'm like, I'll keep you in my prayers, girl. I'm so sorry.
Like, I know you'll probably feel differently about this, but in my relationship with my mom was very different than the one that you have with yours, which is very healthy. Mm-hmm. But my significant other, I mean, when I get married, that's my number one. And my mom will be number two.
No, I agree. Yeah. I completely agree. I mean, yeah, me and my mom have a healthy relationship, but I wouldn't label myself a mama's boy, at least the way mama's boys are labeled nowadays.
The Burt Show.
I have been in the ER early morning, 3-4 in the morning. You better be damn near death or you're getting pushed to the back of the line. You're going to wait and wait and wait. Is that what happened to you?
Uh-uh.
They got you right.
They're spitty. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Real good.
All right.
Yeah. Well, quite a quagmire was had this past weekend.
I think you find yourself in quagmires rather than having quagmires, correct?
Well, I don't know. It's his age. He's going through the quagmire phase of his life.
Yeah, I've got a quagmire. So this weekend, I did my pilgrimage back to Milledgeville, where I went to college, and for the biggest event of the year called Deep Roots, which is, it's like a street fall festival. It's the biggest thing that ever happens in Milledgeville. They just shut off all the roads and you drink beer. It's that's as good as it gets over there. So I wanted to go back. It's always been the best time. So I went and stayed with my old roommates who are still in college there. This is Saturday, and they had a bunch of their friends come down. So in their apartment, we probably had 10 people. One of the main character of this story is going to be a guy I'm going to call Jimmy. So we're partying all day. We get out there. You probably start around 12. You actually go downtown and you're hanging out. Probably 12 to 5, you're drinking downtown. And then you have a choice to make. Mm-hmm. And that choice is you either go back and you take a nap, or you just keep the party going.
Is there anybody in here that can recover from the buzzed nap and go back out?
Oh, 100%.
No way. Nope, not at all.
No.
Here's the thing. This is what you have to understand, is that the more you sit, the more that tired is just going to fall over you. So when you wake up, you feel like you're never going to get yourself out of it. What you have to realize is all you need is a little bit of caffeine and some ABBA to come on. You're back in the game.
I was never one that could rally like that. Once I was down, I was down. But if I stayed awake, let's go.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know if I didn't know ABBA was the secret, but
then it may be a little bit of hard drugs.
Yeah. So probably I'd say 90% of the people I was with, we all went back to the house. They were watching football, so it was so loud in there. I was sleeping on an air mattress inside of their apartment, so I slept in the bed of my friend's truck. Which actually not as comfortable as it sounds. Got about 10 minutes of sleep. So I wasn't too down bad. I'd get up, and now it's probably about, I'd say, 8 o'clock. It's time to go back downtown. Mm-hmm. So we get back down there. We're having fun. There's a concert. We're drinking. I can't seem to ever stay with the group. So eventually, I don't know if everyone went home, where anybody
you're
went.
You're the wanderer friend, where all of a sudden everybody looks around and they're like, where's Mikey?
Well, nobody knows. I know how to sniff out a good time.
I mean, that's one really nice way to look at it. Or they're ditching you. there is that.
Well, the truth of the matter is they went to a place that had a $10 cover, and they're not getting me. So I said, I'm going to have my own fun. I found a bar playing Waylon Jennings, and I played pool for like 5 hours straight.
What else does a man need?
What does a man need? Not $10 cover, that's what. So I stay out until 2 in the morning, and they shut us down. They play closing time. I'm like, all right, it's time to go home. I go home. Everyone else is already back. They're in there listening to music, watching TV.
So nobody comes to look for you. They just know you'll eventually find your way home.
Yeah, that's how it works with guys.
That's exactly how it works. Uh-huh.
I guess this is the beginning of where the problem starts. Is I get back and it seems to me like everybody's accounted for. Someone points out, "Hey, where's Jimmy at this hour? It's now 3 o'clock. We don't know where Jimmy is." Mm-hmm. I never would have been concerned about that. It's like, he's a man. He can do it himself. He'll find his way.
Yeah, I used to be this guy. You just like fade out because if you're going to say goodbye, everybody's going to give you a hard time. You just don't want to deal with it. So you take off. And then I would get texts like 2 days later. Hey, you all right? I'm like, dude, it's 48 hours.
Well, see, the problem was,
I could be abducted in a trunk in Mexico right now.
Nice of you to check on me now.
Right.
The problem was is that he's sleeping on the couch of the house that we're hanging out at. So someone has the wherewithal to say, hey, it's kind of concerning that he's not here right now. Maybe I should give him a call. He calls him up, and Jimmy says, I got picked up by county. That's it. These guys are super Southern. If you guys think I have a Southern accent, these guys are three times as much. He says, I got picked up by county. And at this point, we're on speakerphone, and you hear some kind of argument going in the back, someone saying, turn your phone off, shut your phone down. So then the call ends. After he says he got picked up by county. Now we have cause for concern. If we would have never made that phone call, we could have just had a good night. But now we have to be worried. So I call the jail. I've done this before. You start calling jails and hospitals. And I call the jail. They say, Jimmy, yep, we've got him in here. I said, all right, how much is it going to be to bail him out? How long does this process take? Thank God I had my head on my shoulder, so I was doing all the business talk. I was like, hey, how long is it going to take to get through this process? And I was using all the good words.
Process. And, it's the business accent for me.
And they said, he's going to be processed within the hour, but you're not going to be able to get him out. He has 4 outstanding warrants, and one is for aggravated battery.
Oh, damn.
And I said, well, Jimmy. I am not going to be able to swing that.
You couldn't even do a $10 cover charge. Yeah, you're not going to pony up that bail.
So this just doesn't sound right to me, though. Like, Jimmy's like, he's like a pretty innocent guy. He doesn't get himself into a lot of trouble.
Yes, he does.
After some clarifying questions, we find out this is not our Jimmy. It's a guy with the same first and last name.
Oh, wow.
So
what?
That was scare number one. I was like, man, I didn't know this guy was beating people up in his free time. So
we haven't even made it to the ER. Like, yeah. Where's the ER?
Well, now I call the hospital, and they say, hey, we got him in here. He's getting stitches. They let us talk to him. He says, he's getting emotional now. He says, I just want to go home. I don't want to get stitches. We go, we pick him up. The cops come out and they give us a yellow piece of paper. They say, give this to him whenever he sobers up. And they couldn't collect any information from him because he was blackout drunk. So, like, he just kept cursing to the front desk lady. She was so upset about it. She did not like him at all.
What did he end up cutting? And how did it happen?
I think he got beat up and he fell a bunch. His whole face was just brutalized.
What?
Yeah.
Damn, my life is boring. Right? So boring.
You 10 out of 10 recommend Deep South in Milledgeville.
It's so fun. Deep Roots. Let's go.
Deep Roots, sorry.
The Burt Show. Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces. I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. We'll